sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody, man? Welcome to the Red Light Special. This is episode 7. I am Rob Markman. To my right, I got Kristen Coral. Kristen, what's up?
Hello.
Yes, yes. 7 episodes. Can you believe 7 episodes of talking about R&B music? You know, they said we was kind of crazy for this idea. Like,
so what? You know, why not be crazy?
So what? Fuck them.
Be different. You know, do everything. Do something that not everybody else is doing.
Right. Nah. Exactly, man. And it's been great. The feedback so far. The fans have been tremendous. But before we go any further, I want to shout out Jake and Papa. Of course, that song Starless, our intro music, is the theme song that they provided us. And I gotta always shout out, This Is R&B for the love.
Always.
And Biscuit also, right? Biz be showing a lot of love,
a
man.
A lot of love. That's the homie right there.
What's the site? It's biscuit.com.
It's biscuit.com, definitely, yeah.
With a Z, so check them out.
Puts over a lot of work in.
Yeah, man, shout out to the whole team over there. But we back another week. How you been since the last time? You all right over there?
My clumsy self.
Kristen is driving stuff.
I'm the most clumsy person you'll ever meet. But before we go any further, I do want to shout out one specific follower on Twitter that we have who has been showing love to RLS since episode 1. Every episode she retweets, posts it, listens. I remember we had one week that we didn't put out an episode. And she was mad.
She was on us.
She was, I think she had like a long drive back somewhere. And she's like, but where, you know, did I miss it?
Right.
Did you guys put out an episode and I didn't see it? If you have a Twitter, her Twitter name is at Shan Glennon. So Shannon, Miss Pretty Eyes, thank you for always tuning in and listening to us.
Yeah, and it wasn't our fault that week that we didn't know. You can blame Elvana. Yeah. So yeah, so we just did that. Oh, yeah, man. But what's good? How's your week been, Chris?
I can't even get past that.
Listen, I told you.
You know what? My week was good.
Yeah.
Can't complain, you know. Very eventful weekend, so.
That's what's up. Yeah, nah, my weekend was really good, man. I went to a party on Saturday. Damian Scott, a good friend of mine, he and I were actually on the Fan Bros podcast, so shout out to DJ Ben Amin and Tatiana King and Chico Leo. You know, Damian's a comic book artist and right. An artist in general, and he had a art show out in Flatbush, Brooklyn, where we grew up. So it was really dope on Fenimore and Flatbush. So 65 Fen is the name of the place, and the exhibit is still open up until July 24th, so you can go in there and check it out.
So his work is still up.
Yeah, we have.
Can they purchase anything or?
Nah, I don't think anything's for purchase, but it's up there on the wall. You could take in the ambiance. So we had the opening party on Saturday. I hosted, and then the exhibit's open to July 24th, and it's in the middle of the hood. So if you're in Flatbush, Brooklyn, stop by 65 Fen off of the corner of Flatbush on Fenimore.
He should have some stuff for sale. I mean, I know his work is really, really, really dope.
Yeah, nah, his stuff is super dope. I'm not sure, but I'll find out next week. I'll figure out where you could purchase that if people want to purchase that. But yeah, so I did that this weekend, and then obviously, you know, MTV News day to day out there reporting the news. I wrote an interesting article today about Future. And let's rewind a little bit. I want to go back. Last week, Russell Wilson and Ciara, you know, they're dating, right?
Yeah.
So this is R&B related, guys. This is Ciara. Russell Wilson came out and talked about his relationship with Ciara and announced that they were celibate. They were practicing celibacy.
I did hear that too. I didn't read too much into it, but celibacy and Ciara just don't go together.
Oh, damn, what you watch? Can't she be celibate?
Because like, she's such a her image is very sexy. If you've ever seen a Ciara video, I mean, they've taken her, I think it was the Ride video.
Right.
They took it off air because it was too provocative. And then she's dating this guy, and what's the story behind that? I mean, I hear he's religious or something.
Yeah, he's really into religion and really into his faith. So he had a Q&A at the Rock Church, and you know, he talked about his and Ciara's relationship. If you don't know, Russell Wilson is the you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Right.
But no, not well. He won one Super Bowl and he lost because they didn't get the ball to Beast Mode. But anyway,
Well, I wouldn't know.
They met about 5 or 6 months ago, and he asked us, it is a quote, he said, could we love each other without that? That meaning sex. And she said, yeah, they agreed to it, and they decided not to have sex within their relationship. Which, I wouldn't do it like that, but I mean, she could be sexy, right? She's sexy in her videos and not have sex.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not judging it. You know, I don't think it's wrong. I know a lot of people that are very heavily into religion, and they think, you know, waiting is the best thing to do and until they're married. And, you know, props to her. I mean, she's known to be a sexy woman, but at the same time, when you're an artist, sometimes that's just how you're marketed. If you look at Rihanna, she came out upon the replay and she had her little side ponytail and good girl, innocent, nice eyes. Look at her now.
Well, she was also like 17,
she 18 was like 19.
When she first came out. Yeah,
she was like 19. And at that age, you want to be sexy, I think. But she also mentions it a lot in interviews that that's not who she was. Like, she didn't want to come out that way. Again, Pitbull, all these artists, that they're marketed a certain way, and that's not really who they are. So at the same time, you know, maybe this is, you know, who Ciara is, like a person of respect and, you know, all about moral values. And I'm with it.
Well, you could have sex and be about moral values.
Yeah, of course.
Just what people choose. But the funny thing is that Future was on Huffington Post Live on Monday, and they asked Future about it, about Ciara being celibate. So he says, God ain't tell me to wait. God told me something else. But what he did say is, he said after that, him and Ciara first had sex, that they prayed together, that she suggested that they pray together, and told him, let's pray on it. And Future says, that's what swept me off my feet, is that I never prayed with a woman after sex.
So that's a shocker, because to me, Future doesn't seem like, I don't know. Would you be weirded out if that were to ever happen to you? If a woman just asked you to pray after you had sex?
Yeah, I would be. Unless, yeah, that's,
it's a little weird, I think.
That's new to me. But it depends, you know what I'm saying? If I'm in love, you know.
Well, hey, maybe it was just that good, you know. So
yeah, if it's my wife and she said, hey, let's pray after sex, like, then we go pray after sex.
If it's good, I think no matter what, afterwards, whatever you want, it's a go.
Amen. Word up. So that was one of the headlines this week. That was strange one. You didn't see that one coming. Another one is your boy Tyrese just put out a new album, Black Rose, and he was in the subway in Brooklyn promoting his album. Did you see this?
I did. I saw him actually go. He speaks about R&B and how R&B is kind of dead, and he has this whole thing going on where he's like, let's save R&B, let's bring R&B back. And he goes up to a homeless person, and the woman is, I think it's a woman, the woman is just laid back with her mouth open. It's like she's dead, but she's sleeping, obviously. And he said, this is the state of R&B. And he even tells her, hello, hello, and like, no reply. He's like, you see, this is R&B. But I think it's awesome. You know, they also got footage of him. He has it up on his Instagram where he got on top of a car and just kind of praised his fans. So I think it's awesome what he's doing.
I also saw Brandy singing on the train this week. Like, this is the week for like all your 90s, your favorite 90s R&B singers to just get on the train to start singing. Except Brandy started singing, and I don't know if they knew that it was Brandy or just nobody cared, but it kind of felt like it fell on deaf ears. Go look this up. Go search on YouTube on Brandy singing on the train. You're gonna see it. Let us know what you think. But you listened to the Tyrese album, correct?
I did.
What do you think?
I bought it today. I listened, and I think it's, and you know, overall, I think it's a great album. I mean, he has a very Tyrese, like a classic Tyrese kind of sound. Like, if, I mean, I know you didn't know Signs of Lovemaking at one point, and I kind of told you to go listen to that song.
Yeah, you put me onto that. I'm embarrassed.
I love that kind of Tyrese, where he's all about passion and, you know, like commitment, vulnerability. That's everything that you get in this album. He has a bunch of songs about, you know, men fucking up and wanting another chance, or just doing their side shit, you know, and knowing that they're being shady and cheating, but you know, that's life. And he explains all of that on this album, and I think that's what R&B is kind of missing right now. We don't have artists who are really speaking on real experiences and being honest and vulnerable. That's what the music is about.
I don't know about all that. I like this song though, Dumb Shit featuring Snoop. We'll play a little bit of it.
Really missed out. hold me back. Be making her feel this way. I ain't even smooth for my bullshit. I do it right in her face. It ain't like I don't love her. I already gave her a ring. I hope you know, hope you know how much I really wanna change. And why would I wanna wake up in the morning without you by my side?
Right, Tyrese. Out there apologizing heavy. Nah, but I like that song, Dumb Shit. I mean, obviously me, you know, love R&B, still a hip-hop head. So when he came in with that Bonita Applebaum sample, you know, it's kind of that perfect blend of like 90s hip-hop.
Yeah, definitely.
And R&B. And then the Snoop verse was actually good. I feel like Snoop's verses are hit or miss
they
at
are.
This point. So
and
I didn't
think,
know.
You know, he came back out with a lot of new music recently, and some of it I like, some of it I really just... It goes right by me, but I definitely like the verse on this song.
Okay. And one other thing I wanted to bring up, shout out to Eric Bellinger, who's been a guest on this show. Last week, he remade a song, TLC song, a very famous song, a song called Creep. Mm. Maybe you guys heard of it. We'll play just a little bit of it. But, you know, we want to know, Chris, and I want to ask you, are songs like this off limits for recreation? You know, some people hold their favorite songs very sacred.
Let's hear it.
So let's listen to Creep real quick.
I won't ever creep on you. I won't ever creep on you. I won't ever creep on you. Ever since I made it to the money. Be so many ladies around, but you know you the only one for me. Even with all these ladies around, I see you. And they all want me, but I need you. Yeah. Why would I wanna fuck all that out? Why would I wanna fuck all that out? Yeah.
I like this one.
So that's Eric Bellinger, Creep. Also features T-Boz on it, so he got the TLC cosign for it, but. I don't know, like, first of all, he flipped the concept, because Creep, if you remember Creep was about T-Boz and TLC telling the world that women cheat too, and for guys, it was kind of like a slap in the face, like a wake-up call, and Eric kind of flipped it, because he has his new album coming out called Cuffin' Season, where he's actually talking about being in a relationship, and he's telling his girl, I would never creep on you, so he kind of flips the concept. I mean, I think he did it pretty well, but... I was scared, I ain't gonna lie, when I pressed play, because you can't touch a classic like that.
I think you can, though. I mean, why not? You know, why put limits? I think it sounds way different than the original, first of all. So it's not even like it's just like a redo. I think it's a completely different song. It's the complete opposite concept. T-Boz's verse was amazing on that one. You didn't play it.
Right.
But it's amazing. If the ladies haven't heard it, go listen to it, because she really kind of made that song, but... I think it's dope. You know, why not?
Nah, I like it too. I just don't want it to open the floodgates for everybody to just go pick a 90s song and start recreating the Jodeci and the Boys to Men and the Babyface.
I don't think people will recreate Boys to Men.
When you can't do that. Yo, Eric pulled it off though, so shout out to him. Yeah. And Cuffin' Season comes out this week, so go and cop that, man. Definitely a Friends to the Red Light special.
Yes, definitely.
Speaking of, you know, Friends to the Red Light special podcast, Kristen, we got a new friend. Somebody, this gentleman put his phone number out on Twitter, first of all. So I just texted him and said, hey, man, you know, can you be a guest on the
Why
Red Light Special?
Why not use it, right?
Why not use it? I was like, yo, this ain't really his number. But I'm going to tell you about this guy. He's a singer, songwriter, producer, a rapper. Okay. He graduated from Harvard University when he was just 19. So you already know he's a genius, like off the top. Like, it ain't even no gas to it. The very first song that he produced that he kind of got credit for and got his name was Keep Giving Your Love to Me for an artist. I don't know if you heard of her. Her name is Beyonce. You heard
her? I think I heard her.
Little artist named Beyonce. Since then, he's written and he's produced for New Edition, Cassie, Carl Thomas, Britney Spears, LL Cool J, Chris Brown, Fabulous, Mary J. Blige. And then, of course, he has his own hits. He has songs like Diamond Girl and Addiction and Glory. He's Grammy nominated for his 2009 album Transition. and now his new album Mozart, The Magnificently Zealous Renegade Takeover, is kind of just changing the way the relationship between artists and fans. And I felt like we had to have him on here to talk about this revolution, man. So I just like to welcome to the Red Light Special, Ryan Leslie, man. What's good, brother?
What's happening? Thank y'all for having me, for real.
Thank you for coming.
Nah, yeah, man. Thank you for coming. First of all, your numbers on Twitter. Did you think twice before you you just like, you know what?
I'm
just
going to throw it out there. Line, something your assistant is handling.
No, it's my real number.
That's your number.
And for everybody that's listening, I think the best way for us to really you know, talk about that topic is, you know, just go ahead and send me a text right now. You know, if you're listening, put it on pause if you have to, but the number is 915-600-MZRT, 915-600-6978, and that's been my number for a minute, man. And that works on text, it works on WhatsApp, it's connected to WeChat. You know, I just want to be connected to as many people as possible around the world. But I have a super sophisticated phone system, so it's called a super phone. I built it for myself, yeah, with a team of very talented developers, and I think that's the future. You have to be able to understand nowadays how to flip technology so that it can work in your favor. And so for me, being independent, what's important to me is how do I actually conduct myself like all of the companies I read about, you know? And so I am a technology startup, but at the same time, I'm an artist. And so what I learned from the technology side of running a startup, or what I learned from the startup side of running a technology business, I should say, is the fact that every single activity, every single action, every single user is super important, and their behavior. If you download an app, the reason why Facebook asked you to, you can't get into the platform without logging in, is because they're tracking your every move. They know when you log in, they know which post you're clicking on, they know which ads you're responding to, they know which of your friends posts you click on, so then that affects what content they serve to you. And so for me, I was looking at that and saying, well, look, if a kid from Harvard, who's now, you know, I mean, arguably one of the most influential innovators of our time, you know, came up with this idea and was able to bring it to life, then, you know, why not now? Why not in 2015? Why shouldn't I be able to have the same kind of insight in the people that support me or want to support me or that follow me or whatever it is? So, you know, I want to just give them that window, that door. Like I said, the number, I give it to you again, 915-600-6978. Send me a text right now. You'd be surprised. But yes, yeah, it's a sophisticated phone system, and it asks people three things. And that's anybody who texts me. Number one is, who are you? So, you know, if you were to get a text message from an unknown number, that's the first thing you would say. Who is this, right?
Right.
Number two, I have a sophisticated back-end system. My records are not distributed on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. They're all distributed directly through platforms that I have partnerships with, so I can check. You know, so when Rob sent me a text, I knew that he still needed to get the new project. So
he definitely did.
Yeah, so I knew he still needed to get the new project, but not really me, but my phone knows. Right. And so my phone is set up to actually make sure that anyone who sends me a message, they get invited to support the project.
But if they don't text you and they just get the album off the internet on the site, you still know, you check all of that?
Oh yeah, they get a text to say thank you. I really built this so I could say thank you. That's really what it's all about. So the challenge for any artist now, if you're putting your music on iTunes, you're putting your music on any platform that doesn't tell you. So I would make this the challenge for anyone. If you're a salesperson and you can't log in and see who all your customers are, then it's going to be very challenging for you to stay in business for a long time. And so when I was selling records on iTunes, I think iTunes is great, for consumers and makes it very convenient. So even when Rob got the project, he said, man, I had to do some struggling to figure out how to download
it. I'm also an idiot technology-wise, so it's going to be easier for y'all.
No, I think technology has just made it really easy for us. So anything that has like an extra step, we're like, oh, shit.
No, I would say this. If you know how to use a smartphone, then you're technologically literate enough to do what's necessary. So for me, I've sold hundreds of thousands of records.
But you never saw who bought them. You never got the information. You were never privy to the information of who your fans were.
Yeah, and even to this day, when you log into iTunes, when you log into iTunes, you only see your music. You can't log into iTunes and see who actually bought your music. And as an artist, that's so important for me. And the reason why is because you never know who wants to support you more than just a 99-cent single.
It's real.
Until you actually build that relationship. And so the phone number is so retro, right? Mm. The phone number is the only way to validate that you actually have a relationship with somebody. Mm. You can say like, oh yeah, I'm cool with so-and-so. Oh, they follow me on social. But when you pick up the phone, if they don't pick up the phone when you call, or they don't text back when you text, or they don't show up when you invite them to the dinner, then people are gonna really look at you and say, is that a real relationship or not? And so, especially for my top supporters, that's the type of relationship they have with me. You know what I mean? I was telling Rob, I just took, you know, two or three of my top supporters in New York City. I took them up on the jet with me.
Private
you know
jet.
What I mean?
That's wow. crazy. And probably gave them an experience they wouldn't have otherwise gotten.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And just full disclosure, I mean, and everybody knows me, obviously I'm at MTV. I have a lot of relationships with a lot of different artists. I've met Ryan once or twice, but we've never had a relationship. So I literally got his number off of Twitter because, you know, I was hearing things about the album, what he was doing, and thought, yo, he might be a cool guest for us. Used the number, and exactly how he said it is how it went down. Yo, who's this, da-da-da. And he was like, yo, man, you know, if you buy my album, blah, blah, blah. But everybody who knows me wasn't no thing. I buy an album anyway, like, I buy music because, again, it's like voting.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of passed that threshold. And I think this was like Thursday or Friday. And we've been back and forth for a weekend. You know, just so like it's a real, that's really his number. He really hits you back. Yeah. And it's a real conversation. So it's an interesting thing. But outside of the technological aspect of it, which is brilliant, I mean, you know, you're a musician. Is it Mozart or is it MZRT or is it both?
It's MZRT.
It's MZRT.
Yeah, all MZRT right. is the name of the album. The first album that I did this way was called Black Mozart.
Black Mozart.
And the second album in the series was actually supposed to be called French Riviera Flow. And
staying on your...
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
And I ended up focusing my time and energy on building this platform, this super phone. So literally, you know what? What's also interesting, anybody who's been on the show, anybody who's listening to the show, anybody that, you know, listens to, because I'm going to repost this as well. Anybody who's listening to this, if you're an artist, I'm not over here doing this just because I feel like it's something cool for me to do. I'm doing this because I believe I'm living in the future. And, you know, on one of the records on the album, I said, living in the future now, being broke is past tense, you know. Cash came, stupid boy, I ain't with the plastic, black, you know? and if people really look back, they'll see like one of my first videos that I posted on YouTube. Even though I had a little one bedroom apartment in Harlem, I had learned early on to live below my means. And so I had a one bedroom apartment in Harlem, but I had the Amex black card, and I ordered for a same day delivery, a trumpet from Sam Ash, just so I could, you know, put it on a record, because I was feeling like that's what needed to go on the record. And for MZRT, going back to the name and the title, it's called The Magnificently Zealous Renegade Takeover, for the simple reason that I believe that having a relationship with the people who support you, I believe that is a model and a pathway for you to be able to have a sustainable career. And what does a sustainable career mean? For me, a sustainable career means that you have the means and you have the support to continue to create if that's what you've decided, that's what you want your career to be. My career is being creative, whether that's music, whether that's video, whether that's film, documentary, whether it's technology platforms, whether it's websites, whatever it is, applications, I just want to be able to create. And so when you look at history and you think about you think about some of the greatest music, even if you think about Mozart or Haydn or Brahms or Franz Liszt or Chopin, some of my favorite classical composers, in many cases they had a patron, you know. So maybe it was a royal family said, look, on Thursday nights I'm gonna have my parlor filled with, you know, aristocratic guests, and I want you to do a string quartet for me. And they would make their whole living by, you know, creating music just for those private events. But this is music that's been passed on forever and ever. And so, you know, initially I was just making a record of 12 songs, and then I realized, you know what, I'm making a 120 song album, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how we kind of connected, you know. People say, well, I said, yo, this is my last album. I said, well, are you really formally exiting the game? And I said, yeah, I'm leaving the game like Jay left the game on. It was my last album, but I'm doing it in a different way. I'm releasing a song a month until everyone unsubscribes.
For the subscribers, though, right?
Yeah,
You have to subscribe in order to get that one song a month.
Yeah, every month. Well, I mean, music is free, in my opinion, anyway, so... Mm-hmm. The subscribers will get it first, and then it's their job to go and share it, you know. And they can share it in two ways. They can share it for free, just because they feel like, hey, this is something that other people should hear, or they actually share the entire story. And that's why I limited it to 1,000 people, because when they feel the way they're supposed to feel, then they share the story and they say, well, we want this to continue. So for it to continue, we need support. We need to get more support, because we feel like it could grow. And so that's why, you know, it's a movement.
Well, that's what great music does anyway. You tap, you heard this song. Me and Chris do it all the time. Yo, Chris, you heard this? Yo, you heard that?
Best promotion.
Yeah.
I want to play a little something off the album, because we are here for the music as well. One of the early videos that you shot off of this, Design of Pain.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives a feel of what the album is about, because I think it mixes... Your abilities as a producer, as a songwriter, as an MC, mm-hmm. and as a singer, mm-hmm. you know, it just doesn't stay in one place. And I think when we first were introduced to you, it was like, oh yeah, Ryan Leslie, he writes and he sings and he produces. And then even though we heard you rapping on Diamond Girl as your projects progressed, he was like, oh wait, nah, he really raps. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I think on this one, like, it kind of blends everything, and it's seamless in a way where you don't know where one starts and one ends, and it's all just kind of expression. So, Design of Pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Design of Pain, why sell young, sick, and in love? Young, sick, and in love, yeah.
Chicken, me good love.
Let's. Yo, it's that summertime vibe, summertime flow. When the sun is gone, tell me where that summertime go. Fancy clothes, never could disguise the pain. Never. When the teardrops fall, they turn your skies to rain. Girl, you did something to me, said rhyme, pursue me. Yep. The thrill was gone, you and your man was just roomy. So I made a movie, had a deal with sales. And word to my mother, yo, we felt one another, right? Perfect thighs, pretty eyes, I was hypnotized. Gone. You know eyes have crazy, but you empathize. You threw out your cards, said you played to win. Anything I ever dreamed, you were greater than. Even in the wintertime, you was my summer. We went for it, you lit up my life, no wonder. You were my sun animal.
Just play a little snippet for that. Yeah. That was Design of Pain off the MZRT album.
Yeah. Video is on YouTube right now. YouTube.com/RyanLeslie, long-standing channel. Yeah. I've been around since YouTube started 2005.
You've always been a very visual person, I feel. You know, whether it's videos of you showing how you come up with all these beats, and, you know, you add the instruments and everything. I did hear that you actually trained yourself to sleep 3 hours a day and just nap a half hour. So you're energized in the studio for like 12 hours. How does that work? I mean, how do you sleep so little and still have so much energy to do all this work?
I'm energized, you know, in anything I do, you know. And I think that I would say that my vice, if it is a vice, is that I have extreme focus when I decide that I want to accomplish something. So whether it's a race against a composition that's in my mind, and, you know, being independent, studio time, it costs money. You know, it's $1,200 to lock out a studio like the one that we're in right now, $1,200. So for me, I want to make sure I make it count. You know, I've had the luxury of being on major record companies, having budgets and having studios locked out for months on end. And now for me, it's about time. I realize that time is really the most valuable commodity. So there's an argument for sleep. You know, there's an argument for sleep. People say, look, you need sleep, or doctors say, or science says you need sleep so that you can, you know, replenish yourself, replenish your energy so that you can stay healthy, so that you can, you know, make sure your immune system is right, make sure that you can perform at your optimal level. I just trained myself very early on to have very little sleep, and as a result, I'm able to pursue many different verticals at the same time. I've read that you can really only focus for 4 hours at a time on any specific task. So for me, that's great, because if I decide that my day is 16 hours or 20 hours, 16 or 20 hours, then it allows me to focus on five different verticals. So if that were to be visual, so the designer paying video, I cut my own videos. So and I'm very big on giving young people an opportunity to travel with me. So when you look at the designer paying video, you'll see that it's set in Barcelona, and two young, you know, really hungry cinematographers came out with me. And most people look at that video and say, oh man, that looks like an expensive video, and it literally was run and gun, me and two cinematographers. So in addition to actually having to be the lead in the video, I'm also directing, I'm also working with them, teaching them the ropes of putting together shot lists and producing, you know, organizing. I'm writing the checks as well, you know.
And you edit.
Yeah, and I edit. So if we call music one vertical, if we call video one vertical, if we call relationship management and networking a vertical, and I do definitely spend a lot of time, which is, you know, me being right here is an example of that. If we talk about technology being a vertical, and then, you know, you still got to try to make some room for a personal life.
Well, that was my question. Where's the vertical that allows for all these women that you're singing about on this album? Because I hear a song like maybe one of my favorite songs early on in listening to this album, which was released July 4th. It's no coincidence that was released on Independence Day. It's Stupidest Kind of Love, you know.
Right.
And I'm wondering what I'm gonna play a little bit of it, but I'm like, what do you go through to realize Stupidest Kind of Love, you know?
See, when I'm around you, feel like the angels are singing, you know what I'm saying?
Sounds special.
Yeah. Is it real though? Yeah. So angelic. Yeah. Listen. It's so easy to ruin this kind of love, 'cause it's the stupidest kind of love. So easy to ruin this kind of love, 'cause it's the stupidest kind of love. Tell me, who are you trying to love? 'Cause it's the stupidest kind of love. So easy to ruin this kind of love, 'cause it's the stupidest kind of love. How could I blame you? Something in the roses
said that I want you, and we got along so well. Perfect chemistry, babe. But so different from all the rest. You're just like the best. Oh, it's just something about you. But it seemed like we weren't waiting for the moment we would go on. So easy to ruin this kind of love.
So easy to ruin this kind of love. Because it's the stupidest kind of love.
Yeah. Background on that. So first of all, I got a shout out on Design and Pain. Shout out Kawhi. He's one of the producers in the Black Phoenix B Club. So I put a B Club together to give, you know, that next generation, that next wave of producers the opportunity to have visibility on a project where they may have only had limited visibility on projects before. That record, Stupidest Kind of Love, there are three records, two records on the album that I did in the same day. And I have a long-standing relationship, both business, kind of as a business, I don't know, kind of a business big brother, if you will, or colleague with Illmind. And
shout out to Illmind, he's yeah, a good brother.
And he invited me to his studio, and I went into the studio, and you know, I heard two beats, and that was one of them. And I really just went into the booth and wrote both of the songs just right there on the spot. And that record, honestly, when you really think about it, when you think about relationship situations, especially in my life, they have to do with the fact that in many ways, because I do allocate my time so diligently to the work that I do, what tends to happen is that in the early stages, when I'm extremely interested, and maybe that's just natural, it seems that I'm extremely highly engaged in the actual relationship. So that's why the verse is, "How can I blame you? Something in the roses said that I want you, and it seemed like we got along so well. Perfect chemistry was so different from all the rest. You were just like the best. Ooh, it's just something about you. But it seemed like we were waiting for the moment we would go wrong. It's so easy to ruin this kind of love, the stupidest kind of love." And so I think that feelings, and I feel like relationships are based on a core sentiment and a core chemistry that you have when you first link up. And I feel like in the first 30 seconds of meeting someone, in the first 30 seconds of meeting someone, you may know immediately whether or not there is a vibe, a chemistry, a connection.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so right there, you just, you can act on it. And for me, it always stays, right? So once I know that chemistry and connection is there, whether it be physically or romantically, it's always there. The reason why my parents are still together is something that potentially I may not possess, and that's the practical execution that it takes to nurture romance, right? So whereas I just go by a feeling, someone can respond to that feeling and then say, "Oh, well, that's how he feels, so I should be able to expect this, 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 and this. I should be able to expect this many phone calls. I should be able to expect, how are you doing? How are you feeling? What are you going through, et cetera?" And it's interesting even doing this interview here, because the album is really a rap album. You know, you actually picked out the songs, actually the
sentimental,
the
ones.
Two right. Little records, you know, and Ride For Each Other, probably the third, or
because
even Sounds is like, you know, I got a record with Bobby B. I guess y'all played a little bit, but yeah. You know, it's really a rap record, man, because I'm a narrator, and I look at this as a textbook. I've actually gotten a lot of feedback from people listening to the album and saying, like, you know, "Ryan, this album is not really universally relatable because you're talking too much about, you know, independent musician strategy. And I said, well, you know, the reason why it's a 120 song album is because, you know, this is what I need to get off my chest right now. And it's a textbook, it's a primer. Textbooks and primers are necessary, even though they may or may not be entertaining, right? So, you know, this record is not necessarily about the entertainment value, but a record like Stupidest Kind of Love, you could feel it, you could hear it, and you could say, oh, you know, I understand the sentiment behind it because, you know, it's real. I actually do have real, I do, you know, I'm human, right? You know, it's funny. When I kind of redirected my career to really focus on Cassie, she had dancers that would that we would travel with, and we'd go to Paris, and people would see that I wasn't sleeping and everything. And I said, well, they would say, well, Ryan's a robot, you know, he just he just plugs in at night, you know, he just needs to plug in for a couple hours and he recharges and everything. But I mean, at the end of the day, even though I believe that potentially due to the fact that I have had a string of relationships, some more high profile than others, you know, I believe that over time you do develop a certain callus towards relationships and being sentimental just in favor of protecting the person that you care about, because you know what kind of insensitive, detached, selfish, very forward thinking, driven, focused, passionate person you are when you're pursuing, you know, your business ventures. So in my case, my business ventures. And also, you know, I look at my sister, I look at my sister and my brother-in-law, and the fact they have two children, and I look at the challenges that they face. I look at the expenses that they have. You know, it's expensive to raise children now, and I think to myself, man, you know, it's almost like my family was to me. They raised a family of four on just $800 a month. And they said, well, Ryan, you're going to go to Harvard because you're going to change all of that. And yeah, I've seen millions of dollars. And, you know, I've touched millions of dollars and everything. And it's still, for me, you know, I really want to make sure. And that's, I guess, the reason why I'm working so hard is because I want to make sure that I can not only take care of my immediate family when I have one, but also be able to at any given time, should my sister, my niece, my nephew, I mean, if you listen to the intro of the album, it says, you know, niece and my nephew, now they looking up, got the whole world wonder what I'm cooking up. You know what I'm cooking up? Ain't a rap I ever dropped that y'all ain't looking up on that jumbo to the UAE. You ain't messing with my focus, homie, you ain't me. You know, I made a milli off of just a few. Guess that mean if I could do it, you could do it too. Count it while it multiplies. That's the mode that I'm in right now. And so, you know, I don't necessarily have the time, and I'm not investing the time, and I'm not allocating the time, and I'm not putting aside the time that I think would be necessary to nurture the kind of and develop the kind of relationship that would yield children, that would yield, you know, a lifetime partnership, because I am very interested in a legacy play. And the legacy play for me is what foundation, what blueprint, what pathway can I lay down as an artist, making that example myself for other artists to follow. And in so doing, the same way that record executives, you know, I've watched so many record executives, you know, it's public, you know, they cash out millions of dollars in shares when record companies go public. And I say, well, how many of the artists are able to cash out millions of dollars in shares, you know? And so that's what I'm interested in doing, man. And so, you know, shout out to y'all and shout out to, you know, this podcast for being able to actually pinpoint and highlight the records on the album that talk about and deal with, you know, the sentimental struggles and challenges that I go through. But you know, this record is at least the first 12, this first installation is a primer on how to hustle independently out here.
It's very much that. That's a tremendous sacrifice, though. Or do you see it as a sacrifice? You see yourself settling down? Like, because to be in a relationship, and you know, I'll speak from experience, like, the hustle is one thing, but you got to pay attention and nurture a relationship, right? And they don't always go hand in hand. So do you feel like, A, that you'll get to a point where you can balance the two, or is it that you'll eventually have to let, once you've established what you want on the business end, that you kind of let that go on autopilot and maybe you could focus on a lady or family, or if that's something you even want?
Yeah, I mean, it'll never be on autopilot. I mean, I'll definitely be in there. I'll definitely be sitting in the pilot seat. The vibe, though, the way for me is training and education and grooming, grooming the next generation of innovators and helping them to understand. The author of this quote is slipping my mind right now, but helping them to understand that innovation without execution is hallucination, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I will get there. I definitely will get there. I just know, I mean, even right now, you know, I know how I travel, I know how I fly, I know how I move around. And so that was the, you know, that was the vibe when I got in the studio with Red Cafe and Rosé. We did Fly Together. I fly, yeah. You fly, we fly together.
Toe bracket.
And, you know, when you look at the Les's More videos and the way we move around and travel and everything, you know, I want to be able to, I got to do that for two. I got to do that on double. I got, when we take the jet up, it got to be, you know, and also baby got luggage, baby got girlfriends, baby got, you know, and so she wants to travel in style too. And also I document everything too. So, you know, the photos got to be right. Because literally, like I said, man, you know, I run into so many people say, well, Ryan, you know, people feel like you're underrated. People feel like you're underexposed. But I got everything on video. I got everything on photo. So when someone does decide to wake up and say, wow, it was an amazing life, an amazing contribution.
It's all documented.
It's all documented, man. And yeah, I mean, but to get back to your question, will I ever be able to let it go? And I believe I will be able to let it go. And I'm working right now with the team of people who will eventually enable me to let go of the reins. I'm running my companies right now with an iron fist. And I understand what is, I understand what, I guess in Greek mythology, they call it the sword of Damocles. Mm-hmm. And basically it's a story of a king that would sit at the head of the table. And everyone said, oh, well, man, his life is so good. Every time he wants some wine, they bring him wine. Every time he wants, you know, a different dish than everybody else is getting, they bring it to him. And so, you know, after a while, there became some unrest of the folks that were sitting around the table. And somebody actually had the audacity to say, like, God, your job isn't that hard, man. You just sit at the head of the table and get whatever you want. And the king looked at him and said, you know what? If you think it's that easy, man, I'll swap places with you. And so, you know, I guess it was a soldier, whoever it was, said, yeah, cool. I'll swap places with you, man. That's easy. And the soldier came and sat down. And, you know, at the beginning, everything was cool. And, you know, he's ordering wine and mm-hmm. food and everything. And then he looked up and he realized that there's a sword which hangs over the king's head, which is just suspended, I guess, you know, don't quote me on this, but I think it was suspended by just a lock of hair or something like that. And after a while, as he was sitting there trying to enjoy himself, he just, you know, he started to get uneasy and realizing that at any time that sword could fall and just split his wig, you know? Right. Mm-hmm. And after a while, he said, you know what, I understand now what it means to be king and sit at the head of this table. I mean, you have, you know, it takes a different type of person to do that. Mm-hmm. And so once I'm able to train, once I'm able to educate, once I'm able to groom, once I'm able to lead folks, to be able to have that level of calm and composure under pressure and still be able to execute and deliver at the highest standard, the standard to which I myself, you know, every day aspire to adhere, then that's when I feel like I'll be able to let go of the reins and to make an investment of time. And yes, I do believe that the time is ticking. My father, all the time, I said, you know, it's once again, it's so crazy because the album's so autobiographical, but I said, you know, You know, I came from the futon, now I'm in the mansion. Took over the game, whole ass for ransom. Never forget the day a supermodel said I'm handsome. My dad fell in love with her because he just won a grandson, you know? Right. And I mean, it's just real, you know, it's the time is going. I got a niece and nephew, my sister. So every time I go home, my parents are saying, well, you know, Ryan, your sister, she took the name of her husband. So for the Leslie lineage to continue, for the bloodline to continue.
So are you, that's, you know, a lot of pressure.
It's on you.
It's,
you
all
know?
Up to, that's, you. A lot of
pressure. Yeah, but we'll get there, you know, we'll get there.
Was Ryan Leslie always this way? I wanna go back to the beginning when you first started out. I mean, you know, you're making records. One of your biggest records, even still to this day, was with Cassie, definitely her biggest record with me and you. You guys created, you guys were in a relationship. Were you the same Ryan Leslie then, with the same focuses, or was your mindset different?
Man. I feel more focused now than I've ever been. And I think that has to do with just maturity and experience. I feel more focused now than I've ever been, and I have different levels of responsibility now. You know, when I first got into the game, when I first got, you know, my first, you know, mid six figure checks and everything, being that young and being in New York and being around just hustlers everywhere, and being around the sharks of the music industry, people that really understood and knew how to monetize and exploit. You know, I had a different focus. My focus was to, you know, get out and try to impress people. That's why I was making the videos that I was making of putting my beats online and everything to say, oh, you know, if you like Kanye West, you know, you should look at me produce beats because I'm, you know, I'm just as talented, or, you know, I'm just as proficient. And I believe that the mark that I'll be able to leave on the world has everything to do with how focused I am right now. Yeah. This is the shift. This is the time when the window is open for somebody to really come in and just show the way. And that's why I said, I mean, I feel like I'm living in the future for the music industry. The music industry is actually 10 years behind, right? Right. Every other business. And, you know, I talk about this all the time. If you ever see any of my other talks, but Delta Airlines, one of my favorite companies, they know everybody. They have to. It's their job. You know, you can't call up Delta Airlines and say, hey, I need to switch my flight. And they say, well, we don't know who you are. you're going to be upset. Or Amazon, or anywhere you shop online. If something goes wrong with your order, you want to pick up the phone or write an email, and you expect a response. And if that company wants to stay in business, they better respond, and they better give you a discount, and they better, you know, show some respect for you as a customer. And so in music, it just isn't, you know, it hasn't caught up to that. And for me, I've definitely caught up. I'm 2 years in that way. If a fan comes to me and they say, well, you know, I've been supporting from the time I started tracking people's support levels, man, I know, you know, I know the kid, I know them by name. I know the kids that have, you know, that work at the equivalent of Kinko's in Oslo, Norway, and, you know, have spent $3,000 plus, and have even gone and gotten Rolexes so that they can emulate the hustle, just as a symbol of the impact that I've had. And so I believe that when you really, you know, I mean, it's a different model now. It's about depth as opposed to scale, right? Because the scale is very challenging to maintain. That scale, and it's just as challenging to maintain the depth. However, the depth, at least for me, has proven to be way more rewarding. Yeah, I feel like I just got off on a tangent. I'm not sure if that has anything to do with it.
I did want to ask you one thing.
I feel like there was an answer somewhere in there, bro. I feel like it's there.
I feel like you did a lot of work with a lot of people. You did a lot of work. You've done with, you know, songs with Fab, Cassie, obviously. Are there, like, would you work with those artists again? I feel like it's more, kind of more about you right now.
I feel like you and Fab always go in, right?
Yeah.
Well, even Black Mozart, you had the record Green.
Fab. Yeah. And that was beautiful, man. Shout out to Fab, man. Literally, since the very beginning of my career, someone had reached out to him about a song called Used to Be. And to this day, I don't know what the economics around it were, but I just know, like, I had always, you know, when you just talk about, when you think about just that quintessential, you know, slick talk, you know, and just saying the right things for the ladies, but still got the respect of the streets, and doing those records like Can't Let You Go, and you know, and the Lil Mo record that, you know, when Fab came out, it's just, and when he still had the chipped tooth, you know, and the girls in the hood was like, yo, man, I love Fab. And so to be able to just work with him even on that early record, and then to come back from Vienna, Austria, tell him what I was trying to do and play the documentary for him, and him to listen to it and watch it. And, you know, he said, look, we're not even going to leave. You're not even going to leave my crib without me giving you a feature. That's the kind of respect and working relationship that literally is second to none for me, you know. And I probably don't tell him this enough, man. So should he ever be able to listen to this, or if he tunes in, or if I send him a link to it, man, I want to tell that brother, you know, thank you and much respect and salute to him for lending his influence, lending his credibility, and lending his talent to, you know, to my movement. And you're right. You made a comment that it feels like it's about me, and I'll tell you why it feels that way right now. Because, you know, shout out to Young Jeezy, man. I did a lot of records with Young Jeezy. I spent some time with him. He sat me down. He had a vision. We talked, and the records, however, the records never came out. You know, and there's a few times that's happening. Records that really mean a lot to me. Records, because I don't make records. I'm not a record factory kind of guy. I'm not in the producer rat race. I don't walk around with beat tapes and the like. I when I make a record, I put everything into it. I build it out, etc.
And these are records between you two that haven't come out, you're saying?
Yeah, I got records with Jeezy. I did records with Alicia. I did records with Carrie. I mean, she reached out. I think she'll still put that record out. And so I like to tour. And when I make a record that I really like, I got a record that just leaked the other day with Neo, called Us Like We, which I really loved that record. You know, and I have her. And you know what? It's so funny. When you started listing all the people I've worked with, you know, sometimes I forget about it because, you know, I would say that
you seem very much in the moment.
Yeah, I am in the moment.
You don't strike me as the type of artist that lives in the past or reflect on what. I don't get the sense that, not that it's unimportant to you, but I don't get the sense that what you've done is as important to you as what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would 100% say that because. You know what, I do remember what you asked about, and you asked about focus. And what I'm finding now, and this is almost would get me to the point where this is like, what I'm finding now is that, I guess, teaching myself how to do whatever I was doing, whether I was teaching myself how to make beats or run into the beat of my own drum when I was at Harvard and everybody else wanted to go to Wall Street, and I said, oh, I'm gonna try to tackle the music industry, or getting into the music industry and saying, well, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I'm not out in the clubs turning up, I'm in the club like a scientist listening to how different 808s hit and how people move and everything. And so really, if I were to say the way in which my focus has shifted is that I actually have now an increased and newfound respect and appreciation for relationships. Mm. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm just talking about just simple relationships. The crazy piece about this is that for me to have actually been in the studio with Chris Brown, right, and made a record called Famous Girl on that album, and the fact that, you know, there are I guess varying levels of, like, whether you call it cool or whether you call it acceptance, or, you know, I mean straight up right now, I went out to the BET Awards straight up, and I wanted to do the Radio Room because I said, yo, I'm doing something I feel like it's important that people hear about it. And the Radio Room was, well, we're not having artists in the Radio Room that aren't a part of the BET Awards. And so, you know, as I start doing more of music or releasing music that's outside of what's traditionally accepted for what an artist should do, the invitations to the cool parties and the award shows and the VMAs and the AMAs and the Billboard Music Awards and the Grammys, etc., you know, I'm just simply not on the radar. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm making any less money or I'm living any less well. It means that I'm refocusing on what a large number of artists can focus on to have a career, right? So the folks that are at those award shows and the folks that are at that pinnacle and the folks that have that level of limelight and shine, those folks are in the top 3% of people who make music. But when you think about how much music is created every day and the number of people, even folks that y'all may have on this podcast, that have incredible talent, that need an outlet, that need a way to be able to keep that music going, and they just are completely overlooked, or they feel like they don't have the cool, they couldn't pick up the phone and have the luxury that I have to do a collaboration with Fab, or, you know, I feel like there has to be a way for those people, because I feel like there is another Stevie Wonder, you know, in the works. And, you know, I think there are more Frank Oceans. Right. And for whatever reason, you know, it was only one that happened. I feel like there are more Weekends. And for whatever reason, because of the amount of money and the way that the economics of the music industry are, there's only one. And I know that there are more. You know, I know that there are more. I listen to it. I'm following. People are sending me things all the time. I'm accessible. People send me their projects and I hear it. And so I think that my focus now, if I had to think about how different my focus now is on relationships, whether they be with my top supporters, whether they be with partners, whether they be with artists. You know, I just got off the phone the other day with Red Cafe because, you know, we had done that great record together and he needed to go, you know, he went down to Miami.
That was really a dope record, the Fly Together record. And I tell Red this all the time. I think Red is very underrated. Red never got to drop his album the way he wanted to, but he always kept the banger.
Right. He's always working though.
Yeah.
Always. He's consistent.
Always. I'll see him this week, you know.
Right.
Because I want to talk to him about the platform and some of the advancements that I've been able to find to unlock value in even a very small supporter base, you know. But what I meant to say about the relationship thing is that, like, I just never kept in touch, you know. I was trained, I guess. Artists are trained, I would say that they're trained in ways that are counterproductive to their careers. They're trained in ways that create dependencies on managers and agents and labels, because they're told, don't talk to people directly, you know, refer them to me, refer them to the label, refer them to the agent, the manager, refer them to the deal maker. And
then they're out of touch.
Yeah. And so even for me right now, man, you know, it's like Breezy, man, you know, I see everything that he's doing, man. There's definitely music that we need to do together, you know. But people change their numbers and all that, or even like Tyga, you know. I was out in L.A. At Michael Ovitz's house, and it was like a who's who was there. It was Leo DiCaprio and Kanye, and Tyga was there too. And I had a short moment where I was able to link with him. And so, yeah, man, when I see that there are folks out here that have such a platform, you know, that's where I would like the music to be. But I'm not interested in making music that's not going to come out. So to your point, you know, I know that I have my own distribution platform, so
you know it's gonna
I
come
can
out.
Drop a music. I could drop a record. I make a record right now after this podcast is over. Get on the keys, record some acoustic, and because I have a commitment to everybody to drop a record every month, I can make that my August record if I wanted to. And so, you know, not everyone is that has that level of liberty and freedom and creative license. And then at the same time, you know, some people might not like the records we make. They might feel like, okay, this doesn't really represent me. I think Ryan's talented. That doesn't mean I like his record, you know? Right.
One record that I love, I'm going to play a little bit, is one of my favorite records. I think it's genius. And really, like, I always liked you. And then when I heard this record, I sort of became, like, a fan forever. It was off your first album. It's called Gibberish. Because... You know, in this record, and me and Chris were talking about this record earlier, it's all about a feeling.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't need words to describe a feeling. So we're just going to play a little bit of this, and I just want to get the story of how you came up with this.
Yeah.
Don't make me wait. I don't wanna know. Let's stop a day. Let's love and us. Or stop alone. It's the love of us. You stand on. If you don't want, get it in the things. I don't wanna know. Let's stop a day. Let's love and us. Or stop a day. Or the bubble of love. Stop a day. Oh, day.
It's Gibberish off of Ryan
Translation,
Leslie.
Translation, Ryan, please.
Right? Because I so followed you. Right? Yeah, yeah. Time is running out. Please don't make me wait.
Right.
And you
and then
lost
after
me.
That. So yeah, many people did ask me. Out. Yeah, so many people have asked me, were there any real lyrics? And my favorite story to tell about this record is we were at Chung King Studios, and John Legend was recording as well. So when I made the record, I went, jumped in another studio, said, "Hey, John, you got to come in and listen to this." And I said, "You know, what do you think?" And he said, "Man, I like it." I said, "Well, my manager at the time, Ed Woods, had advised me."
Shout out to Ed Woods.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He had advised me, said, "Yo, you should just put this out just as is. It just feels right." So I said, "Yo, John, you know, I think I'm going to put this out just as is, because it just feels right." He said, "Man, you know, you're shortchanging the value of the record. You need to. I mean, this is legitimate advice from one of the best songwriters. Yeah. You know, from all of me, ordinary people, and the list goes on and on. You're shortchanging the value of the record by you know, leaving it that way. You gotta put real lyrics on it. You know, and I molded over and I had done some work with Sean Garrett.
Garrett.
Yeah. And I guess we all, as songwriters, we all write the same way. We write based off a vibe, you know. And I just did a week down in Jamaica. You know, I'm working on, I mean, super honored. Rich Homie Quan asked me to executive produce his album. You
wow,
know?
Really?
That's
yeah.
Great.
And so I say, "Look, man, we got to get you out of Atlanta. Let's go down to G Jam Studios in Jamaica. You know, I know Cole's been down there. I know Drizzy been down there. I know Alicia been down there. I know Snoop did his Snoop Lion transformation down there. Let's go down there." And we got him a villa and, you know, and everything. And what was so interesting about that recording process is that, you know, I took a couple of guys from my team down there as well. And they were like, "Man, his accent is so strong. Sometimes I don't understand what he's actually saying on the record, but I like it because of the vibe."
Yeah.
And so I think Gibberish is that same, you know, we don't understand what's actually happening on the record, but we like it. It's the vibe.
You was Young Thug before Young Thug was Young Thug.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's that vibe. And so, yeah, it's just... I don't really play that record too much because it is challenging to replicate it, right. You know, live.
But you find that it's because I know I'm not alone in this being a fan favorite,
right?
And you go on the internet and there's all, so there were never any lyrics to this.
Not besides the time is running out, please. Don't
so
make
because if
that's
you go,
the only part, yeah, I understand.
If you go to all these lyric sites, it's like they have time is running out. Please don't make me wait. I'm all alone. I'll stab a day. I don't know what that means.
I'll stab a day.
Lost in love of ghosts. Lost all alone. It's another lost one. You stay gone. There it is. Pissed on the wall.
Okay.
Hit it in the face.
Oh my goodness.
I don't want to go. I'll stab a day.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and that's just one of the interpretations,
right?
You know, so it's gibberish. That's why the name. That's the song was named appropriately for the concept and the exactly was captured on record.
Right. I think it's just the melody, kind of. You know, even when I heard it, it's like that three count where it just kind of makes you go one way and then the other way,
right.
And it's kind of like. It's just a melody throughout the song. It's not too long where you're like, all right, I'm gonna, you know, I didn't even skip past it. I sat there and enjoyed it. Just, I think it's just kind of like a melody, and you kind of have to have an ear for it and just pick,
yeah,
it up.
That's what music is, though. You know, there's also there's a moment when I was recording this album, and you know, there's another moment on this album. It's not a gibberish moment in terms of the musical vibe, but in terms of, you know, at the end of No Prisoners on this album, there's a chant and it's a, you know, and people listen to it. I have, you know, people writing me saying, what are you saying right there? And I said, well, I'm not saying anything. It's for the vibe, you know, but I'm layering and stacking and we got the octave and the high octave and the low octave and, you know, and a melody that's a counter melody to it. And it's about a vibe. It's just something that I heard on the record. I didn't know if I wanted it to be Japanese or Spanish, and I didn't have anybody in the studio that could do the chant in Japanese or Spanish, so I just recorded it that way. that's how it's on the record.
I still don't know what Michael Jackson is saying when he says, mama saying, mama, 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 goose.
Yeah.
It sounds good, though.
But it's catchy. It's something that people pick up on, you know. It's something that people are going to try to even imitate.
Right.
Even though there's nothing there to imitate. It's catchy. Right.
Yeah.
Nah, that's dope. On your the Black Mozart album, there was a documentary that came with it, and you know, and the music and you creating it, and you had some lyrics on there that I wanted to ask you about. My new chick is so hot, that's why I like her. My ex chick is so hot, but Diddy wifed her.
You was of the entire album, you picked that lyric.
Listen, I had to listen. First of all, I saw in the old interview that you said that you'd like to work with Cassie again if she was still interested in doing music. Is that something that's still on the table? Because you guys did have a moment musically that really worked.
Listen, I mean, I believe that I believe there's a time and a season for. I believe there's a time and a season for every special moment. And that time and that season and the place where we were as a team in New York City, both young people just getting acclimated to the hustle of New York City, is wildly and vastly different to the lives and our present situations. And I can only really speak on the present situation based on what's publicly revealed on Instagram or wherever, what other media. And so I think that it's a topic that is a topic, you know, and when I wrote those lyrics, that, you know, that was 2012.
Right,
so it's three
ago.
You know, it's three years out. Much has changed. And you know, I honestly feel like I actually haven't spoken to her in a long time, and so, you know, if I'm actually shouting people out and telling them whatever I want to say to them, you know, publicly, I would actually just say, you know, if I could offer an apology for just the number of questions or the number of how shall I say, off color references and or, you know, prodding or, you know, people wanting to stir things up, because I think at the very core of it, it's about, you know, man, it just sounded, when you listen to those records, you could tell there was magic there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seasons change and times change. And like I said, our present existence is so wildly and vastly different to that which it was at the time when we were making those records. And so, you know, there was a moment in time where you know, we took a meeting, I think. You know, she came up to the penthouse down Wall Street where I stayed, and it was her and it was Gwen Niles from Bad Boy, and you know, and I said, well, you know, I'd only do it if we could actually show the process, because I think that, you know, that's something that people would love to see, the process, like what is it like getting back together, and just and she's grown so much in terms of just her entrepreneurialism and her, you know, the various ventures in which she's engaged in. I think I just saw her new Diamond Supply collaboration t-shirt, and yeah, it's just a different it's a different world, you know. And so as it stands now, where I stand and where I'm, what I'm interested in doing is, I believe that there is someone who needs a lift. She has a lift already. I mean, she has, you know, if you look at her following, if you look at the cult following that she has, she's already etched her name and written the history that she's was supposed to write up to this point. And I believe that there's someone else that needs a lift, that needs the musical foundation, that needs the technological foundation and infrastructure, that needs the experience, that needs the relationships, that needs the resources. And I could do it this time, and I could do it this time kind of separate from any kind of romantic involvement, and do it just, you know, on the strength of the music and on the strength of building a career again, you know. And honestly, you know, I guess this topic is always so interesting, because people say, well, Ryan, you never did it again, you know. you
it's a one and done.
Yeah, you have so many you have so much talent, and you know, you write songs and you just never did it again. Like, why didn't you bring us another artist? You know, I would talk to Todd Moskowitz and Joey IE, and Joey would say, Ryan, just bring me the artist, man. We believe in you, could produce it and everything. And I think that I had a real issue, man, when you listen to records like Out of the Blue. Mm-hmm. You know, like on that first album, I know people have listened to that. You know, I had an intern who said, man, I heard that record for the first time. I was cleaning my garage and I just had to stand there with the broom and I was crying, you know?
Wow.
So
that's real.
Because it was, and you can hear it, it's captured on record, it was so real. And so the loss, I think, you know, it's just a moment in time, and it was captured already on record and everything. So, yeah, man, I don't know, you know, and I don't know, is it even a good idea, right, to try to rekindle something, you know, like, is it a good idea to try to rekindle some magic, some moment that I think moments are beautiful because they're fleeting. I think moments are beautiful because they pass by. I think, you know, that certain sunrise on that specific date, whether it was your prom or your wedding night, I think the beauty of that is that, you know, you have anniversaries, but you don't go back and say, you know, let's, you know, people renew their vows, but they don't say, hey, let's do the wedding ceremony over again and invite everybody and try to recreate that magic.
Because
that magic is what it's supposed to be for that moment. And so, yeah, you know, I don't, you know, I who knows whether or not the chemistry would be there? Who knows whether or not the music would be something special? I just don't know where she is. You know, I haven't reached out to her. I haven't spoken to her, and I don't know where she is musically. I don't know where she is personally, and I don't necessarily know whether that would be the right stone to try to uncover, you know? Right.
You don't want to water it down either. And
yeah, it has to be.
An image.
Yeah, yeah, it has to be real, you know? It has to be 100% mm-hmm. real. People come to the studio with me, I want them to be stripped of all trappings of fame, of notoriety, of celebrity. I want them to be stripped of all that and you know, show up at the studio unless we're filming, you know, even if we're filming, maybe you just show up in your sweatpants and really we gotta dig in and make the best records we can make, because like I said, everything I recorded is till the end of time. You're gonna have to take it from me. I'm defending my place in history as a musician, as a creator, as a contributor to our culture. So yeah, I mean, I guess that's a question that's important for an interviewer, because that's what the readers or the listeners
want to know.
You know, they definitely want to know. But you know, that's my stance on it, and my number is public. So anybody wants to reach out to me, you can ask me about it directly.
I think the reason why people are so interested in that is just because it was, like I said, a one and done kind of situation. Like, she came out, the dancing that she went along with the music, and
yeah,
it was dope. And it was just kind of like you said, a moment. It was just a moment, and then it kind of just, that fire just went down, and it just stayed there. And I think that's where, I mean, even aside from the relationship, you know, everybody has their own personal lives, and you know, that's not even to be dabbled in. But music wise you know, could there, I think people kind of want to see if maybe she still has more, and could somebody so musically talented like you make that happen again? But you know, I think I do kind of agree with you, everything is in its own time and seasons pass, and kind of want to just leave it there.
But you have to want it though. Like,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. When somebody gets in the studio with me, that was the vibe of the sessions that we had. Like, people just be like, "Yo, Ryan, why you take this so seriously? Why is this so, you know, why are you so meticulous? Why we got to go take after take after take? Why we got to keep doing it over and over again? Why are we spending 12 and 18 hours in the studio? It sounds good to me, you know, like, you know, it probably did sound good. And I think for me in those studio sessions, you know, I was extremely protective of you know, that was the moment, that was the onset, that was the tip of the iceberg of just everyone being able to have an opinion, you know, publicly, right? And so I just so wildly and passionately wanted to protect her from the backlash that I knew existed, you know, because we were building everything in the MySpace days. So, you know, I went the extra mile to make sure everything was meticulously perfect, and the vocals and where everything sat, and the music, and you know, making and crafting records that left enough space for just that perfect tone, that special tone that she has, that everybody, you know, responded to, could listen to, and making the space in the record for her to be able to do that, and just be able to, you know, because that's what I thought was so special to me. That's what I responded to when I listened to the records, was the timbre of the voice. You know, there's so many folks that they're not necessarily the greatest singers. I wouldn't say Bob Marley per se, or Jimi Hendrix. If you were to compare Stevie Wonder and Bob Marley, or compare Jimi Hendrix and Luther Vandross, you know, in terms of vocal ability, but the impact and the songs and the delivery, you know, they're timeless and they're special and they're priceless for what they were, you know, and what they are and continue to be, because they're on record forever, right?
Yeah.
And so, you can't force that magic. You can't just put two people in the studio and say, yo, recreate that again, let's ignite it, you know. People have to come with an open heart, an open mind, open spirit, to be able to be vessels of whatever inspiration is there in the room, you know. Right. And so that's you know, that's my take on it. But that's my take on anyone who comes into the studio with me.
Right. But man, I'm looking forward to what's next, though. I got this MZRT album, right?
Yeah.
And what happens now? I get a song a month now. How does this work?
So around the fifth of every month, I'm releasing another song, you know, and it's just gonna go and go and go and go until I don't want to make music anymore. But I chose very early on that music is the only thing that I want to do with my life, and I'm just not concerned necessarily about anything except for the support of my true the support of people who truly appreciate what I do, because the only thing I can control in life is what I give to the world. Right. I can't control how people respond. I can't control whether people like it. I can't control whether people, you know, support it or not. But I can control what I give, and I can make sure that what I give is always 110%. And it reflects what I want to give to the world. You know, the album was supposed to drop on New Year's Eve, and I performed it on New Year's Eve. You know, and I do a pretty extravagant party every New Year's Eve, and not extravagant just for the sake of blowing money, but extravagant for the sake of giving Ryan Leslie supporters, you know, people who are in the Renegades movement that I put together, that once in a lifetime bucket list experience. It's a castle in Vienna, Austria, yeah. And the big grand piano, you know, and and this year I think we're going to do a plane. You know, we're going to do Renegades Air. So from Dusseldorf, Germany to Vienna, you know, we get the whole plane and give people that experience, man, because I want people to have pride and have a reason to be proud to say, like, yo, my favorite artist is not necessarily based on the impact or how widely spread the music is. It's because my favorite artist really appreciates me. I know I'm an integral part of their ability to continue making music, you know? That's what's so important to me about your support, you guys' support, people who actually go and actually say, look, I'm gonna give you $1 a month, man. I'll pay you whatever I would've paid on iTunes, but I'm gonna make a commitment. Like, the dope thing, or the dopest element of the exchange that got me here on this podcast is that you actually said, you know what, I mess with Ryan's music enough to make a lifetime commitment. Right. And you could cancel at any time, when you actually, you know,
I want my song every month, man.
Yeah, it's a song.
Got into this. You trying to break it off already?
Yeah. The song is coming every month, you know, and it's interesting though, because there's varying levels of access.
I celebrate you for that, man, and I commend you for it, the relationship that you're building with fans. I think it's a day and age where fans want more access. Like, it's the coolest thing.
They
want
to feel included.
To feel like, yo, I can just text my favorite artist and he'll hit me back. And it's this level now with streaming and all these different levels of access and who offers what, and I think you really broke down the wall and put it in the simplest way. Like, when I hit that line, I know that's Ryan on the other end.
Yeah.
And you know, there's something really cool about that. And, you know, I think a lot of artists, you're the only one I've heard doing this so far. I feel like when we go on, like a year from now, if a lot of artists are smart, they'll kind of jump on this wave, because you know, that's what fans want. Fans want more access, and they'll pay for it, for that connection.
Yeah.
And as an artist, you want connection to your fans. At least you know that person on the other end, too. That's a Ryan Leslie fan.
Yeah.
And you're smart for what you're doing. Because even J. Cole did that intimate show in New York, where basically, like, his closest supporters, and they're people that are not even industry-related. It's just genuine fans. To be able to show up to a little private listening or something, they feel somewhat of an attachment, even though they may never see you again.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of attachment there, and I think that's what people are really looking for, and you're probably the only artist doing something on this level.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, maybe even if it's like a year from now, you know, you say your vision is the future.
Yeah.
Even if it's 1 year from now, 5 years from now, I think it's the start of something that it's just going to take people a little bit of time to catch up to, and you'll already have like the grasp on it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're building the platform.
Right.
You know, we're building the platform. I mean, you know, eventually, you won't even have to go to my website to send me support. You know, you'll just be able to say, look, you know, yeah, I know you subscribe to a song a month, but I got an extra one. You know, text me $1. You only have to go to a website, and that's how you be able to get. And I'll send you a link. You know, when I say we're in the future, we really, I'm really, really, really living in the future. If you look at the intro to the new video, and shout out to MVP for doing the actual voiceover for that. If you look at the video for the new video, the intro, I'm in the bathroom in the chateau in the south of France, and the phone is talking to me like an alarm saying, "Good morning, Mr. Leslie. You know, you have 11,000 renegades, six of which are celebrating birthdays." And I could pull out my phone right now and tell you the name. I'm not going to name the people, but I could tell you the names of my supporters who are having and celebrating birthdays today.
That's
how real it is, and that's how much I appreciate the people that support me, man. Right. And so if you're listening and you actually texted me at the beginning of this podcast, you already received, I didn't pull out my phone, but I know for sure that you received at least one message back that said, "Who are you?" And if you got past that and you went and added yourself to my phone, you received a message that invited you to actually join MZRT.life, which is my lifetime album project. Name me somebody who's done that before.
Yeah.
I did the visual album, I did the drop the album out of nowhere, and now we're doing the lifetime album, 120 records, one a month. That's at least 10 years more of Ryan Leslie music nonstop. You can subscribe at any level from $1 all the way up to $1,000. You subscribe at $1,000, I promise you're going to you take a ride with me.
I took him on the private jet. I seen it the other day.
Yeah,
it's real.
You get one free trip with me a year on Renegades Air. You know what I mean? It might not be the super duper, Donald Trump 757 or whatever he has, but we got a little Hawker XP.
We don't want to ride with Donald Trump
anyway right now, man.
You know what I'm saying? But bottom line is, we want to create those experiences, man, because that's really what's priceless. Time is what's priceless. You know, the time that we spent right here doing this podcast, someone could give us $1 million tomorrow, but you can't go get the Ryan Leslie interview that you're listening to right now. You could try to recreate it, but this time is priceless.
Yes.
And so I just appreciate y'all for having me on.
Appreciate you too,
bro. For reaching out. And for whoever's listening, man, y'all know how to get at me, man.
Tell them one more time.
Just tell you one more time, man. It's 915-600-6978. One more time, 915-600-6978. Make sure when I hit you back, you add yourself to my phone so I know who you are. And also make sure you support the record, the Lifetime album, the revolutionary concept, the magnificently zealous renegade takeover, Lifetime album, MZRT.life. But you already know, if you send me a text, I'll send you a link. So one love, and thanks for listening.
Right, no doubt. I think I might do that too, man. I might need that technology. Like, you could text me, but you're going to have to click and read one of my articles.
Yeah.
It's like, did you read one of these articles?
Yeah.
All right, and then we'll talk to you. But
I'm going to have a separate conversation with you and figure something out.
Yeah. You can. And you know what? It is for everybody, though.
Right.
It is for everybody. Dope. You know, you have to think right now, like, you know, how many of your Facebook friends do you have a current mobile number on? So you can actually pick up the phone and call them. That's really what this is about. It's like, look, social is cool, but it gives you a false sense of access and real connection.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we friends on Facebook. Oh, we follow each other on Instagram. But when the time comes and you really need to make the call, Rob can pick up. Rob can make the call. He can make the text, and it's real. So I always ask people, I say, you know, how many Facebook friends you got? They say, oh, well, I got 550. Well, are all of them in your phone book? Yeah. Probably not, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm saying, is that the analog piece is what really validates the access. Will they show up to the dinner invitation? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just virtual, you know?
Right.
And so that's what my fans, really, they'll fly from Detroit or from Cali or Atlanta all the way to Vienna, Austria. That's when you know it's real. They'll fly. I wish I got a commission on them flights. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they'll fly all the way, you know? So that's when you know it's real, man. That's what we are, man. That we on that Nunu.
No doubt. Chris, where can they find you at? Because you won't pick up your phone anyway if they call you. So where can they get you?
I don't like picking up my phone.
Yeah. So I'm like, she's not a phone person.
I mean, I'm a phone person. I'm just... No, I don't like picking up
my phone. What's your
Twitter? Yeah. See, but even on Twitter, you can't DM unless they're following you back.
Right.
So that goes back to, you know, you saying that it's false advertisement, really, on the connections that you have. Mm. But my Twitter is at Chris Lover, KrisLovaA.
And I'm at Rob Markman, RobMarkman, and you can hit us up at the Red Light Special Podcast Twitter, which is RLS Podcast, at RLS Podcast. Ryan, man, I can't thank you enough. This is I've done a lot of interviews. This is our seventh episode. We've done seven interviews. I personally have done hundreds of interviews. I've never done an interview like this.
This is our lucky seven.
Lucky seven.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you, brother. And man, I look forward to a song every month.
Yeah, and I look forward to seeing y'all's platform grow. You know what I mean? These kinds of relationships and these kinds of interviews are the kinds of interviews which end up, you know, being sometimes defining moments in the careers of journalists, you know? And so over time, you know, as your platform grows, as you eventually, you know, get your own show or get acquired or do a Beats Music or a series or whatever you guys do, you know, I just hope that at the same time, I continue to grow in awareness and in success and in whatever I'm doing so that we can meet again.
Right. You're always welcome.
On a greater platform.
You're always welcome. And so until next week, we got a guest lined up for next week too. We're not gonna say who, but somebody that we're really excited about. But you know, check us out, man. Red Light Special. If you haven't checked out all seven episodes, check them out. We got some good stuff. And until next week, we're gonna let Jake and Papa take you out. Peace. And that's the motherfucking truth.